In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
My sisters, happy Thanksgiving weekend. What a beautiful civil holiday we had this past week. It reminds me of the connection between holiday and holy day, and how all of our holidays in our culture were originally holy days. These two have to be united for the day to really be special, something pleasing to God, and Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that can be holy days and pleasing to God. In honor of Thanksgiving, we'll speak a little bit about settlers and natives. But before we get into that, I want to bring to your attention two important hashtags. I almost wonder how I lived my life up until this point without knowing these hashtags. So I'll share them with you. The first is hashtag LYBL. Does anyone know what hashtag LYBL means? If you're in my family, you cannot answer this. LYBL. It stands for living your best life. Living your best life. Another one is similar, and this is YOLO, sometimes said YOLO. Anyone know what that means? You only live once. Yes. Very, very good. So these two hashtags, living your best life and you only live once. These are the kind of hashtags that people will post when they have a photo of something they're doing that they really enjoy, a place that they get to go where they've never been before, right? Hashtag living your best life, you only live once. Well, in preparation for this sermon, I researched some top 10 lists of ways that you can live your best life because you only live once. And I wrote down some of the tips that are given to do just that. I categorized them into bad, neutral, and okay. So, we'll start with some of the bad ones, and I'll give you three of each. Bad. Bad ways to live your best life because you only live once. Do what you want. Speak your truth. And practice sacred self-love. By the way, just because you put sacred in front of something doesn't actually make it holy, right? Practice sacred selfishness. Okay. Now the neutral. And again, not bad, not good. Clear your head. Clear your head. Improve your social skills. Create a bucket list. And that, of course, has to be neutral because it depends on what's on your list, right? You go see this place, you go kill that person. It depends on what's on the list. Now, some better ones. Because it wasn't all bad, these are the ones I would classify as okay. So, focus on the positives. That's okay. Remember your days are numbered. That might even be better than okay. That might be pretty good. And adopt minimalism. I'd also say that maybe is pretty good. But one thing that was lacking in every single list that I looked at was turn your whole life over to Christ. That's actually the way that we live our best life. And we must do that now because we only live once. Right? That was absent. St. Augustine, from the 4th century, has a beautiful quote, and I think it speaks right to this question of how to live your best life. He says, "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement." God is the apex of life, the utterly transcendent one that we seek after because nothing else is good enough. St. Augustine, though there weren't hashtags in those days, probably would have hashtagged his quote, "Living your best life, you only live once." In today's gospel reading, and this is where we're going to transition into the settlers and the natives, Today's gospel reading was about a young man who was living his best life. A man who was wealthy, who was keeping the commandments, who was doing everything right. He was a man who was successful, both in material and spiritual things. He was a good young man. And he came before the Lord, and he encountered perfection. And he, being someone who was desirous of perfection, and who isn't? Right? Who wouldn't exchange that which is good for that which is better? That which is better for that which is best? You would have to be irrational not to do that. He comes before God, and he sees perfection. And he says, what must I do to have this transcendent, eternal life? And the Lord tells him. Remember what he said? The one thing he didn't want to hear, right?
Give away your possessions.
Maybe the one thing we don't want to hear too. Perhaps. Perhaps. Give it all away to the poor. Come and follow. And it says in the scriptures, the man went away sorrowful. And that was perhaps putting it charitably. Because when that man went away, and he went to live his life, which he formerly would probably classify as the best life, right? He realized that what he had walked away from, who he had walked away from, was so much better. And he went from that which is perfect to that which is imperfect. And every time he went to go post on Facebook or Twitter about what he was doing, he couldn't put the hashtag anymore. He couldn't say he's living his best life because he only lives once. Birthdays, holidays, maybe even when he went to the temple and the synagogue, because he knew he had turned his back on God incarnate. He had walked away from his own perfection. He went away sorrowful. The sorrow of this type usually leads to something, and it's anger. Anger that we can't find happiness in the life that we were formerly living. It also leads to self-justification. We make excuses and reasons why we have to continue on this path rather than taking the higher road. It'll lead also to frustration because we won't be satisfied with that which is ordinary, having turned away from the extraordinary. And most likely, it'll lead also to envy. Envy for those who are following that path. Perhaps even envy for the one who's blazing that trail, Christ himself, who leads us on the path of salvation. You know, I think this man, who's to be pitied, embodies really the response of the Hebrew people of that day. Those who came to Christ and they saw a life that was so utterly transcendent that they couldn't do anything against him other than to try and put him to death. It was because of their envy, because their life didn't match up to his life. Even Pilate says, he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. Out of envy. St. Justin Popovich has a beautiful quote which speaks to us about this man, speaks to us about the Jewish people, and our own selves. He says, in this world, a man must solve a problem. To be with Christ, or to be against him. And everyone decides this whether he wants to or not. He will either be a lover of Christ or a fighter of Christ. There is no third option. There is no third option. This is a very hard reality that we have to come to terms with. We are either with Christ or we are against him. You know, this poor young man and the Jews, we could classify as the settlers. Why are they the settlers? Did they come over to America? Did they create settlements here? No. They were settlers because they had settled for that which is lesser, as opposed to that which is greater. That which is from the earth, as opposed to that which is from heaven. The creation over the creator, right? They were settlers. They settled. In the Akathist of Thanksgiving, that is sometimes served on Thanksgiving Day, we sing about how the Lord makes us dissatisfied with earthly things. By the way, that's not a complaint, right? We're actually giving glory to God that He makes us dissatisfied with earthly things. We praise Him because He satisfies our desires with good things. He raises our love above everything on earth and everything in heaven. What's above heaven? Who's above heaven? God, right? He raises our love to Him, the one who's entirely transcendent. This we sing in the Akathist of Thanksgiving, and this hopefully we experience in our Christian life, that walk with the Lord. The gospel ends with the exclamation of the Lord that with man, this life of seeking God first, even putting aside riches, that this life is impossible with men, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. What a positive way to end a very difficult gospel. But if we were to read this gospel in the context of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we would see that the conversation continued. The apostle Peter says, "Look, behold, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, in the renewal of all things, in the next age, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Judging them in what sense? Condemning them? Sending them to hell? No. Judging them simply in the sense that they showed forth in themselves that with God, this actually was possible, to leave everything to follow Him. They showed by way of example that the Lord's call could be fulfilled. And that is the greatest conviction. Then the Lord says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But he says, many of the first will be last, and the last will be first." He's telling us everything is going to be flipped. Those who maybe think they're living their best life now in an earthly way will not be living their best life then. And those who think that they've lost everything on earth in following Christ will gain everything there in heaven in following Christ. Everything will be flipped. For us, brothers and sisters, the question is, I think, how do we define success? How do we find life? How do we define that which is best? Do we want to be settlers? Or do maybe we want to be those who don't settle for anything? Do we want to be people who seek God first and Him alone? I think that's what we're called to, right, brothers and sisters? Let's get to the natives. I was driving back with my family from a baptism on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and my mom was in the car with us, and she was talking about my early days, which I don't remember, my first 6 months were in Alaska where I was born. I am a native Alaskan. You may not realize that. And she was talking about church life there. And how the people there, they didn't have much wealth at all. They had very little as far as material things. But they were very rich in God, and they put Him first. And she gave some examples, so I'm going to make her happy by recounting some of them. She talked about one time how my dad was locked in church. He didn't have the key, and the way they did in those places was a little different. So he got locked in the church, and nobody was around. So he figured, well, what am I going to do? He didn't have a smartphone, wasn't those days yet. So he started ringing the bells, thinking that at least somebody's going to come. And the whole village started coming up. There was nothing on the schedule. There was no service on the schedule. They heard the bells. They heard the call, and they wanted to go to church. And he was let out. Another situation, it was Bright Monday, the day after Pascha. And they had a custom in the village that everybody would take off of school, and they'd come for the liturgy, and they'd spend the day together rejoicing in the resurrection. And there was a teacher from the lower 48. Don't just think geographic. Think different mindset. Who said, well, you know, it's a school day, Father. We're going to have school, and the kids are going to have to come. So he said, well, I wouldn't do that, but you can if you want. So they all go to school, and it comes time for the service, and that bell is rung again. All the kids get up from their desks and walk out of the school and come to church. Next year, Bright Monday, schools were closed. Another situation, you know, in Alaska, it does get cold, and they have to heat these churches, and one of the churches was heated with oil. They had these large barrels that they had to roll up the hill. And it so happened that they ran out of oil in the church, and there were barrels that were delivered. And it was like the day before Sunday. And my dad wasn't able to push the barrels up. They were too big. So he thought, well, you know, this is a matriarchal society. I'm going to call Catherine, the matriarch of the village, and just let her know, not asking her for help, just let her know that it's going to be cold on Sunday. It's going to be a little cold in the church because I can't push the barrels up the hill. And in like 5 minutes, all of the men came to the place where the barrels were and start pushing them up. They heard the call. Not just from Matriarch Catherine, but they heard the call of God to give their lives to Him, even a small little portion. Those were the Native Alaskans before we sent up the plague of our settling nature, our secular materialistic culture, government checks, and all of that. By the way, you know, we often think that we're helping people by giving them our culture, our Western culture, by moving them forward as far as material development and prosperity. Oftentimes we're not. Oftentimes we're destroying something that is actually better than what we have. Because these people don't need to be enchained with the same things that we're enslaved by. I want to share three quick things from our community here. So we're not just talking about others, we're actually talking a little bit about ourselves. On Thursday, we celebrated the 42nd anniversary of Father Joseph Olenek to the Holy Priesthood, a man who heard the call and followed, and who left a life of material prosperity. And by virtue of that sacrifice, stands to receive, if he remains humble and faithful, a great reward. A reward which will be shared with his family, Father Shkenis, children, who co-struggled with him in the priesthood. Father Joseph and family, we honor him. I want to also mention our other priest here, who at 92 years of age is going to be traveling to Russia this week because he heard the call to go. He's going to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the reopening of St. Catherine's Church, the church that he, together with Matushka Dunya, reopened as the OCA Representation Church. 92 years old, still hears the call. He's bringing also with him his personal doctor, Reader Nicholas. At the end of the liturgy, we're going to have some prayers for our safe travels for them. And it isn't, by the way, it isn't just clergy who respond to the Lord's call, but our own people. And oftentimes, we respond with simply just coming to the liturgy, just coming here to the service. In one church, there was a woman whose water broke at about 3:30 a.m. on Saturday night, but decided to come to church anyway. Anyone know where that church is?
Here.
Right here. Joanna came with Zach, even though her water had broken at 3:30 a.m. Putting Christ first, responding to his call. And God has blessed them with a beautiful baby John Isaac. You know, brothers and sisters, I wish that all of us, perhaps, might share something about our life in Christ with the world. Might one day come to church and do a selfie with the iconostasis behind us and hashtag it, living your best life. You only live once. And when we go out into the world, to care for the poor, to do that which the Lord calls us to, and hashtag it, and let people see that this is actually extraordinary life, that there's something more transcendent that the human being is called to, and that's a life in union with God, a life with Christ. Closing quote, St. Justin Popovich, he says, "Give up everything for Christ, and do not give up Christ for anything. We only live once, don't settle. Your best life is with Christ." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.